Hello and welcome to another episode of Skaven Blight Radio. It's Dan. I'm joined with Bodacious. Do you know, I nearly said the wrong name then. Sneep and Ratty Gnartail.
Hello.
Hello.
Brian missed his roll call.
Doesn't matter, I'm not re-recording this one. So how you guys been?
Good, good, good.
Yeah, I've been alright.
Painting some models, a little bit of Wormstone.
I've been good as well. I actually played some games this time.
Yeah, the stunned silence.
Yeah, I can hear everyone gasping for their breaths.
We need some sound effects on standby so we can have, like, tumbleweed.
Played some games and I read some books. I've even assembled some Skaven.
No way!
I'll save it for later, though. We're going to do it in order.
Do you have an order to this? I'm just winging it now.
I don't know.
So I've probably entered one too many short story sort of competitions and all that on the Marid forums.
Yeah, but that's...
And actually won a couple.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. You're a winner, man. Yeah. That's why you enter them. It's the buzz. Didn't you win on the other forum, not our forum?
Yeah, the Chaos Dwarf one, yeah.
Yeah, you see, you put your little beard on and pretended you were a dwarf, and was like, oh, yeah.
Yes, pretended I was a dwarf, yes, yes. Yes, I'm right, honest.
Sorry. Speaking of Chaos Dwarfs, have you seen the Forge World Demon Smith? It's actually a pretty sweet-looking model.
Yeah, I think I have. Well... A lot of their Forge World stuff with the Chaos Dwarfs is usually really nice.
Yeah, it's kind of nice how it pays an homage to the old, like, stiff, tall hats and colorful banners. But it's not, like, stiff like the old ones. It's kind of the arms are outstretched, or he's holding the head of a dead dwarf in the other one. And the rules for Age of Sigmar are actually pretty sweet looking. They might even be worthwhile to get for a Skaven army. Basically, it buffs the other unit from shooting at you. As it throws up, the wizard casts like a fog of like smog and shit.
That's possibly overkill. Skaven shooting in Age of Sigmar is pretty ridiculous.
No, them shooting at you. So you basically you would pick a unit on the other side and they would be at like negatives to hit you.
Yeah, but does it apply to units that don't roll to hit? Because plenty of the shooty filth like for the Empire with their whatever it's called. The lightning magnifying glass thing for the Empire is roll 3 dice and decide how many dudes you're going to take off. Throw all 3 dice, consult the chart, and go, oh, did you actually want to play this game?
I'm just looking up those demons, Mr. Amarmus, of what they look like. They're gorgeous, they are. Oh.
Oh, says Chris. Oh, go on. Chris,
oh.
Right, anyway, we're not here for Chaos Dwarf porn.
Oh, my.
And that's actually, in Kings of War, they're actually the ones that create the Skaven.
Well, I've not actually read that's any of the fluff. Cool.
Yeah, I thought that was quite odd, really, in a way, but...
I mean, there's not a lot, but there's enough, like, for every little faction, they have, like, a small little blurb. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting. They created them as you know, kind of like a normal creature that would fight for them. But they started hoarding weapons and supplies and eventually rebelled and, like, snuck off.
So
and, like, formed their own thing.
So in that, we're basically the Black Orcs out of Warhammer Fantasy.
That is exactly what I was thinking.
I don't know, it's actually kind of interesting, because especially their main rulebook comes almost like in a graphic. You can either buy like the ones that we're used to, the, you know, Games Workshop hardcovers, where, you know, like the thick book that you can like looks about as thick as a yearbook and you can like whack somebody with it.
Mm-hmm.
They have the gamer's manual, and it's like the same rulebook, but I guess trimmed down with a lot of the pictures and such. And it looks more like a graphic novel size than like this huge rule book. Which is actually kind of nice to bring to, you know, store to store, so you don't have this huge thing that doesn't fit in your miniature case.
So, does the main rule book also, is that the where the story comes from the where they explain how the Skaven are made?
No, that's actually in like Unbridged Armies, which they released shortly after the Age of Sigmar was kind of announced. People thought it was very, like, perfectly marketing timing, because everybody was like, what, they're turning my regiment game into, into a skirmish game? And so this still has the same elements that everybody's used to. It's actually even by a former Game Workshop employee.
Huh.
I can't remember who he is or what some of the stuff he's done, but if I remember,
he's the guy who wrote 6th edition, basically.
Yeah, I mean, so he's well known, and I actually kind of like it because it encourages more scenic bases, because you don't remove models, you kind of remove, you add, like, counters.
Yeah, I play have, a like, lot this. Of it.
So I was actually thinking of making, like, regiment squares and then, like, having, you know, maybe transplant some of my characters into the huge blocks of regiments to make it, you know, multiplayable in that sense. Putting the giant rats on a 40mm base so you can use them as a verminous swarm in Age of Kings, or as 4 giant rats in Age of Sigmar. And it's, actually, giant rats are pretty badass in Sigmar. They don't have an armor save, but 30 right. plus attacks times really 3 if you have 30 of them. So it's like 90 dice.
Yeah, I did it. I think I took 56 of them with a pack mister, which means you were hitting on 2s and wounding on 2s. It's a bit ridiculous. But, you know.
Stay fair, Skaven. Stay fair.
I really
well, those packmasters are actually pretty sweet, too, because they got, like, the 3 damage wounds. So, I mean, they can really take on a beast. I'm not sure how many it would take on to use for the math to work out that you can take on a Celestial Prime, but I mean, the fact that each one's an individual unit, so you have to allocate wounds accordingly, could make things a little bit harder. You know, it's like, okay, 5 attacks on him, 5 attacks on him, 5 attacks on him. Kind of negates the whole, like, uber amount of attacks. Because they have to allocate each one because to separate units. Yeah, the Demon Smith had the subtract 2 from shooting hits and any distance rolled for targeting for the targeted unit.
Yeah, but that's only affect units actually rolling to hit.
Yeah, it needs to actually roll to hit, though.
Forge World also do the rules for the Skaven models they've released for like the wolf rats and stuff, and the was it the warlord on the rat ogre bowmaker?
No, I wish they did the one on the rat ogre. They did the on the bread whore, which it actually has the same amount of wounds. Just has a better character profile and a command ability. You know, like the weapon profile of
okay.
His little warlord dagger giving reach. I actually played the warlord on Bonebreaker, which was created by a vampire account player that posted it to various boards. I think it's kind of well balanced, and it's kind of cool. Of has like a perch from atop, so like everybody gets bonuses to their. It's like Impressive Beast. Everybody gets bonuses to their Battle Shock.
It's always good.
Speaking of command abilities, I think that's something that's kind of a shame that even so, the Chieftain, who was one of the cool flavors of the old book, was kind of reduced to a legacy scroll by not being included in the Grand Alliance book.
Yeah.
And it's kind of gotten me thinking that it would be nice if all the Skaven were a little bit more Skaven-like and everybody can use their command ability no matter if they're the general or not. Because, like, realistically, they're not going to, like, respect another one's leadership to not, you know, use their ability. It's like, oh, this Greyseer is in charge. Yeah, I can't tell people to gnaw on their bones. This seems kind of odd.
I have to reason it from the other way around. If the Warlord's not really in charge, but the Greyseer is, why would they listen to the Warlord?
I don't think there's an issue with that, personally, but... it's Age of Sigmar, isn't it? Anyway, has anyone been playing Age of Sigmar?
Quite a few. I actually barely squeaked out a draw in Portland the other day from an Ogre player.
Ogres.
I basically lured him with a Screaming Bell and like one block of Clan Rats, whereas the rest of my army ran around and securing objective points. And so he was like, I'm going to beat the Screaming Bell apart. And of course the bell didn't really do much other than like buff a couple units, but I bring it just in case it spawns a Vermin Lord. It's already made its points back.
Yeah, if it can do
and,
that.
And you know,
definitely.
By points I'm talking about the South Coast GT pool points that seems to be the most popular way right now to balance for casual games and tournament settings.
South Coast GT. Yeah, I've seen that one posted as well.
There's a few other comps that kind of float around. One of them just retired the SDK. I can't remember who did that one, but it seemed kind of dumb because it required a whole bunch of math.
Math? Yeah. For a math game?
Well, it's... The for the other two that are popular now, the SCGT points as well as the Eshar Empires have more of a points assigned based on how they balance off of other units. So, like, Clan Rats are 4 points, whereas Storm Vermin are 7. So even though they're both one wound, you're it's different. For minimum core, it's a different point value.
Oh yeah, it needs to be, isn't it? Storm Vermin's nothing like a fucking clan rat. That's like complaining a slave to a Chaos Warrior, which is the entire problem with the Age of Sigmar.
And so that's kind of what the pool points kind of solves. The math-wise did the same thing, but made it didn't really balance out for the synergy of the other units. So like if you took a formation, it really didn't really factor in, you know, these units adding their extra abilities and such. And it also made the Lizardmen way too expensive Sephron, because they were able to be, because they're the Order Demons now that can be summoned by the giant lizard in the sky.
I like how everyone's calling them Order Demons.
I mean, that's what they say on their character profile. Demons and Order. So, I mean, it's interesting that they're playing more with the fluff of it and aspects. I think it's kind of a shame that how they kind of wronged the Tomb Kings and Bretonian Knights, though. Rather than just leaving them at their legacy scrolls, I think they should add like a white dwarf issue with them and be one of those armies that crosses the Grand Alliance border, like Death and Chaos for the Tomb Kings, where it can be like... So they're like, you know, nah, we're not really feeling the whole Sigmar thing. Why are we following him? And they can join the other side. I think the Batromian Knights would be cool as this ghost of Christmas past kind of thing going on. And so they would be like order and destruction. And they'd be like spiritual, like come in to like just destroy shit. Kind of like the old Green Knight rules where they kind of, it was kind of more of a spirit than an actual physical model. Yeah. So it'd be like ghosts of Bretonian knights coming through and destroying chaos because they remember, that's what they remember in the old days.
Ghost riders in the sky.
Exactly. It's
flash.
It kind of fits their, because they're, it's not low fantasy anymore. It's kind of with a little bit of magic thrown in. Now it's kind of, especially with all the carts and the chariots now, it's almost kind of like age of, you know, like steampunkish. Because 8th edition kind of brought tons of chariots in.
Yeah, but Skaven were always kind of steampunkish, so...
Well, yeah, that's kind of why we use... Yeah, but Storm Fiends are a lot more steampunkish with than, say, the old weapon teams and such. With a little rat on the back and a vat.
That's just a cash grab there, isn't it? Before we bin the Skaven, buy the shiny. Buy the shiny!
Well, yeah, that's actually trying to play Skaven in Age of Sigmar without Storm Fiends. It's a serious handicap.
Oh, it's not. 120 Storm Vermin. Charge, kill, win.
No, dude, my Storm Vermin got vaporized on a charge from ogres. I mean, like, the entire block of 40 just whiff on a charge.
Well, you should have shot him.
Yeah?
I didn't say don't bring your old lightning cannon, did I?
Or maybe run them in smaller blocks and let me act them as buffers. Oh, yeah, sure, okay, you killed 10. Because if you're going to wipe out the unit anyways, might as well wipe out a smaller unit.
No, because having bigger units means you get the plus one to hit without numbering rule.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the role for clan rats at in Age of Sigmar at such low points. I think they more of a... what people used to run the rat darts as. You know, minimum block that just is there to screw up enemy movements.
Yeah. Maybe.
Because they don't do well in combat when you compare them to clan rats, which are the same points in the GT pool points. So, I mean... You're going 30 attacks versus 90. I mean, which... granted that, you know, clan rats have a shield, but most units do more than one damage, so your clan rat shield's not going to work. So it's like a 6+, maybe 5+ if you're in cover. And they actually changed the cover rules in Age of Sigmar, too. It's not like if you're blocking line of sight. It's like if you're actually in the terrain piece cover.
Yeah, but they needed to do something because the cover rules in Age of Sigmar, I mean in 8th edition, were just shit. You either had some cover and it did a little bit, or it, you argued about it, basically. Whereas now you say, yes, my model is standing within the cover, he has cover, it's so much fucking better than let me hit you with the rulebook.
Yeah, but if the building is blocking line of sight to your models and there's only a few models that you can see, I think that they should be awarded some cover because it's going through the terrain to your unit. But that's not the way the rules are written. The rules are written if you're actually in the building.
Well, tough.
So if you're behind the building...
It's the way the rules are written that matter.
Yeah. I'm just saying a balance in how it would play better. So it's like ideal... You know...
Are we into the ideals of how Warhammer could be better section? Because I don't think we have enough time to cover that topic.
Well, I think that's probably the reasons why they didn't even bother with points, because they were frustrated on trying to balance it forever. And I think that's even, I'm not sure if it's rumored or if they actually said it in an interview of like, fuck it, you guys balance the game.
All I know is I've been growing my beard out.
Have you? Is it a nice plucky dwarf beard?
Yes. I mean, no, I'm scaven, yeah, scaven.
You're still looking at the Forge World Demonsmiths, aren't you?
No. Yes. It's so nice.
Well, you better hurry. The little war machine tank is on last chance. Their little Congo line of death.
Is that? Oh. You know the whole thing of the hell cannon disappearing.
I'm actually curious how they fit in the new setting. Because it's... they're not quite chaos, but they're not quite dwarves.
It don't make sense anyway, because in the fluff, the chaos dwarves died in the Age of Sigmar. And now they're back. So, is that even explained? It's just like... oh yes, we destroyed the old world and the Chaos Dwarfs with it, but now they're back.
I think that was Grimgor killed all the Chaos Dwarfs off in End Times.
It were a bit of a mix, I think.
I think it was only in one, if you bought one of these sort of side novels, that they actually explain what the hell happened with that. Which is Grimgor goes and kicks every other nation that otherwise doesn't have a rule book that the Skaven didn't already take over or blow up.
Are you implying?
Well, I'm implying they were squatted.
That saying's going around a lot, isn't it?
Mmm.
So, anyway, moving on from Age of Sigmar, has anyone been up to anything else?
Well, I played a Ninth Age game.
That's not Age of Sigmar, Dan. I thought you were going to play Age of Sigmar.
Oh, you mean anything else within the Age of Sigmar?
No, I'm just pillocking you, dude.
I've got but I did read the books though, the Battle Tome and the Legends of Age of Sigmar, Skaven Pestilence book.
You think they're worthwhile? Quite...
yeah, they're actually really good. The Black Library book, the Legends of the Age of Sigmar, and Bestland's book is the first novel I read from the Age of Sigmar. It's actually pretty good. It's it's also pretty short. So I let's see how many pages. It's not even 200 pages. About 180 pages, so it's you can read it pretty quick.
What size font are we talking? Is this like font 1? Get your magnifying glass out. Or...
No. It's average, I think. I don't know what font size it is.
I kind of like the lizardman fluff in it, talking from the first person, which is not something we really have had in the Warhammer setting. I think at most it was a couple of the Shans, and so it's like the first time an actual Sephiron has said something other than...
Oh, really?
But they also kind of made it cheesy because, you know, like he fist bumps the Stormcast, so, I mean...
What?
Yeah. They bro fist.
Sounded a little dirty from my on my end, I've got to be honest.
I'm just stunned. It's bump.
It's a book about Skaven and pestilence, and still the Stormcast managed to be more dirty. But no, really, it's It was a good book. It's a lot about the Skaven perspective. So I thought it was it's about the main story is about these two Blake priests, like one's really shifty and the other one's more like a warrior guy, and they're being manipulated by this Vermin Lord, and they're trying to find. They think there might be one of the books for the Great Plagues hidden in this really big worm in the realm of Gur, and it's and there's a city on top of the worm. That's how big it is. And the Skaven, it starts out with the Skaven having already taken the city, and then just Stormcast and Seraphon arrive and try to root him out. I don't know if we should talk about spoilers, though.
Yeah, you can talk about spoilers.
Just sort of shout spoilers.
If you don't want spoilers, just leave. Because we're not editing today, so... Bye.
We'll probably yell when there's no spoilers.
How will they know? It's not a video. We can't wave his hands and go, yay!
We can promise to stop talking about spoilers in like maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and then just say right now that if they stop listening for 5 minutes, then they won't hear any spoilers anymore.
Good luck with that.
It's not like we're ruining Star Wars or anything. I mean, it's...
No, man, people could be really excited. They could be reading the book right now.
People could act, that little advertisement could, you know, spoiler, could actually encourage somebody. The fact that there's actually a Vermin Lord in there actually kind of encourages me to give it more of a shot, especially after hearing about the, you know.
There's a lot of perspective about of the Vermin Lord, because all of the characters, they all have their own, like, chapters and things where you can kind of read about their motivations and stuff. I thought it was really good. In the end... the more shifty plague priest, because he manages to make the most progress towards the center of the worm, like either digging inside the insides of the worm. So once the Clan Pestilence took the city, they just started digging these pits into the flesh of the worm, the kind of the more warrior like plague priest, he's a bit insane, and he's also like the kind of plague priest that he sometimes leads from the front and he doesn't really get out of the way of a fight, which is obviously strange. Like he's got a bit of that the Queek mentality.
Yeah, you know, Queek.
It's interesting. So. Would you think the giant worm would possibly be a god beast, kind of like the new book?
Yeah, that's what I was...
It's a unique creature. I mean, because there's only one of them on the planet, right?
Well, not really, because they in the Amber Steps, that's where apparently the worm roams, and it's a place in the realm of Gur, and there are apparently several... giant worms, and they even have names. They talk about, because the worm they're fighting on is called Shugol or something, and its characteristic is that it's got a really ancient noble city of humans on top of its back, and it's got a crown of lightning because there's a realm gate on top of its head. And there's apparently another worm roaming around somewhere that's got a temple of corn on its back. So that they talk about a time when those two worms almost collided.
Oh man, that would have been fun.
Yeah. So there's apparently a giant worm of corn also roaming around. But the worm they're fighting on is actually one of the good worms. or at least for. So it's so that's why the Seraphon are also beaming down, because the Slan, he wants the worm to live, to keep living for the millennia to come or something. Because if Clan Pestilence is allowed to roam free, then the worm probably die. And the Slan didn't want to see that happen.
I thought the Seraphon were the soldiers of Sigmarine.
No. The Stormcast Eternal. That's the name of the Sigmar guys. The Seraphon are the Lizardmen now.
Okay, so Seraphon Lizardmen, Stormcast Eternal, stupid, retarded, fucking ridiculous long name of the Empire. Yeah.
It'll get thrown around a lot, so you'll get used to it if you start reading shit.
Sigmarines, I'm going to start editing podcasts, so every time I say it, I'll just put Sigmarine in. Sigmarine.
Well, you should actually find it funny. Even more funny is their new book with them riding dragon mounts. Or little mini dragon mounts. The Stormcast Extremists or Exterminus?
Extremist Chamber.
Yeah.
With the Star Drakes.
Aren't they massive models or something? I heard they were going to be huge.
They've got one massive model, and the smaller Star Drakes are more like cavalry, but they're pretty big as well. There was one guy on a Star Drake in the starter box, right?
If I'm quickly looking up.
Silence throughout the port.
Here, pin drop.
It's because there already was a guy on a Star Drake, but now they've released the actual models. I think it's just two sets. Like one set as just two Stormcast on Star Drakes, or not on Star Drakes, or the smaller one.
The things about as expensive as the new Vermin set. It's like $140 for a single model on this huge dragon, Star Drake.
Expensive as hell.
But, I mean, it's also a combat beast, so, I mean, it's almost up on par with a... Probably it easily take on a Bloodthirster.
But they, so that was new as well, last couple of weeks. There's been a lot of new stuff since the last episode. I can't remember it all.
And yet, apparently the finances aren't great.
Actually, looking at the overall picture, it seems like they've dipped after the end times. But the actual overall picture almost looks like you get these spikes that drop down and come back up. So it's almost like they're laying off people who have been there long enough to get stock options, which almost is what I was looking at that concerns me, because there's like three dips. So it's like three rounds or three major people that they got rid of that had stocks options that dropped the stock considerably before it went dipping back up. It dropped pretty big after end times and kind of peaked back up and then went back down. It's enough that it makes me think that they took that petition seriously to kind of change their motto of being a modeling company, and they kind of wanted them to change it to that they're a games company that produces games great models. So they have some great rules in their repertoire. I think they're finally starting to realize that, especially with the other video games buying up the licenses for things. Mm. You got Blood Bowl, Mordheim, even Total War, which I have the books pre-ordered for that, which is kind of I think there's like one new story in there, but they're like collected of the out-of-print books that sold out of Inkeron. Lord of the End Times. So it's kind of interesting that they're releasing old books as new, collected as a total under the Total War franchise. So it kind of makes me have some hope that they might do something to the 8th edition other than just abandon it.
The Black Library released those.
Popular 9th Age is.
Well, firstly, 9th Age is not official and not Games Workshop. And honestly, I think they're going to fuck it over themselves. Not trying to shit on your parade if there's any 9th Age fans listening. And if you want to defend 9th Age, you're more than welcome to come on the podcast and defend the podcast. But you've fucking changed so much so fast and you've pissed so many people off. Because we were all geared up in our area to do 9th Age. And then you just fucking kept rewriting the shit out of everything to the point where no one actually gives a fuck anymore. There's no
censorship.
That's
where Kings of War has an advantage because it's balanced from the beginning.
I don't fucking know about that because I've been playing that a lot recently and I don't think balance is an accurate word for it.
I'll talk about the game that I played then since we're talking about 9th
Age. Yeah, let's go on to 9th Age. Some positive 9th Age stuff.
Yeah, because I thought it was pretty okay because it was basically Warhammer Fantasy 8th edition for me at least.
Let the record state that he was not playing Skaven.
Yeah. My Skaven army is on round basis now. So I played my Empire army, which is basically like lots of knights and a couple of fledglings, units of fledglings. Got 40 fledglings, I think. And it's and I played it against my friend's orcs and goblins army. So we had I had a big unit of knights, two smaller units, had two units of fledglings, and the other guy had a really big unit of savage orcs with lots of characters in it, and a unit of knight goblins, and some boar boys, some chariots in it, some squigs. And I think I killed everything except for the big block of orcs, which I just couldn't. I threw everything in it that I had. I flanked and everything, but it didn't work.
No. Welcome to Orcs 8th edition, we're not nerfed.
Yeah, that was a difficult thing for me as well, because I didn't play a lot of 8th edition. And
you've never seen the Savage Orc Bus of Death before then?
No.
That must have been fun.
But he had like the, I don't know if it was the Bus of Death, because he had like this axe that you get to roll D3 attacks and D3 strength for, like that you add to your strength and you add to your attacks.
Nice.
Is that the one? It killed a lot of stuff, but I threw in a unit of flagellants and a unit of swordsmen, so it wasn't really killing anything important. On my like important things were hitting him in the flank, but it was just a big combat in the middle and it didn't go anywhere, and I was just basically mopping up things inside. The main thing that went wrong for him was when because I had a captain on a Pegasus and I put it next to his Night Goblin unit, and he had to release like the flagellant of the they called the fanatics. Yeah, so he released the fanatics, and they didn't do anything against the Pegasus captain because I had a 1+ armor save on that guy. And then he just scattered into his own units after that.
Why have they changed the way fanatics affect armor now?
I don't know, because what was the old rule for the fanatics? Because I remember them. I think he didn't do much against, because I had a 1+ armor save, and I think he knocked it down to 3, but I saved 3+, but I saved a lot of it, a lot of the attacks.
I could be wrong, but it was like strength 6 armor piercing or no save, something like that. It's been a while, so you'd be looking at like minus 4 or completely no armor save.
They might have nerfed
It were a bit brutal because she just shoved them up to knights and they just annihilated the knights before.
Yeah. Well, they at least, well, the game seemed pretty balanced as far as I would. It was, but I didn't, as I said, I didn't play Skaven.
Yeah.
Probably good. So, Dan still has his point.
What, my point that the ETC don't like Skaven players, so they know if they shit out of the Skaven book and they don't give a fuck? That point. Let's just highlight that fact. Not biased, I'm just truthful.
Truthful. And objective as well.
And subtle. Let's add subtle in there. Why not? If we're fibbing.
But yeah, I had a fun game, but it was it just seemed like they were like, if for me it just seemed a lot like why would I, if the only question I had in the end was why would I bother with 9th age if I could still play 8th edition? Because I could have just as easily like picked up the 8th edition rulebook and just made an 8th edition army and it'd be almost the same game. And it'd just still have the Warhammer theme stuff back in it in there because...
To be honest, this is your thing, isn't it? There's only a couple of things that are actually wrong with 8th edition. And this is what annoys me so much. Why didn't people focus on just fixing what's wrong? Why has everyone just gone... We're going to change everything while we can.
Wait a minute. I'll be back in a minute. I've just got to take care of something.
Okay. Are you still here, Brian? I know. Looks like it's you and me, Chris.
Oh, just me and you. Oh, I can probably speak again.
Yeah, do you want to talk about some stuff on the forum?
I guess I can, or forums.
Forums?
Yeah, I have a bit of wonder every now and again. Well, I know we sort of mentioned earlier about the Seraphon, as in the sort of new lizard men. Something of interest, at least, is the last fluff competition that the... Lustre and Lion had quite a lot of Seraphim themed fluff. Still there, Dan?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah. So it's just sort of this silence suddenly. Oh. But yeah, some really, really quite interesting takes on the whole new sort of how lizard men are now. From what I can gather with the lore, majority of the lizard men are more sort of constructs by the memory of the Slaan. So effectively, none of them are really real or alive, which from a lore fluff perspective can get quite bloody dark, really.
That technically means they're immortal.
They're immortal, but how much are they really themselves anymore if they're just the memories of... of what they were just in the potentially alien minds of the Slaan. I mean, this is where you get all sort of Red Dwarf with sort of, does Rimmer really count as Rimmer?
So you're saying that they're like psychic projections of the Slaan and not actually individuals?
Yeah. That's what I at least, I might be wrong anyway, but that's what I can gather from what I've read from what the Lustre Online lot have sort of been writing on. And from what I've glanced at with the lore, a lot of the lizard men just are the memories conjured by the Slaan, though. They're immortal, but are they really what they were?
Or are they immortal because they think they're mortal?
Maybe you could get value meta there. Hey.
If it's a memory of a memory, it's like we don't actually die, we just fall over because we're told to fall over.
I wonder what would happen though if the Slaan remembered had a special selective memory going, this sort of great hero, he was really great. He was like the Chuck Norris sort of great. When in fact, the memory is actually completely wrong. And then you've got this suddenly sort of massive sort of...
Again.
Oh, hello. Oh,
there's someone at the door.
Did you give him the Dan greeting?
Which is that?
Did you say, did Ninth Age send you?
We're not that live, are we? I hope.
I've been expecting you, Ninth Age.
We were just debating the seraphims of the Lizard Men and the prospects of their reality.
Yeah. I kind of like them, though. And especially after reading the book, they're okay.
Yeah, I was saying, the Lustre Online lot, in their recent story competition, had quite a lot of seraphim-themed fluff come up.
Of course, yeah. It's very did well. They also, write Age of Sigmar stuff?
Yeah, they're actually very avid over there in writing the Age of Sigmar stuff, the Lustre Online lot.
They made a good, the April Fool's joke was awesome, though.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, I was, it's too bad they took it down, the images they had.
Yeah, and I'm not sure they're actually going to be, want to give it to us anyway, that image.
Should have made a screenshot. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, I didn't either. So,
but yeah, for any sort of
great artwork.
Any listeners who sort of weren't around sort of to see it, they changed their sort of banner image on Lustre Online into Skaven destroying all the temple cities.
Yeah,
and all the sort of member avatars were sort of masked by a Skaven avatar instead. And everyone was split up into warlord or sort of greater clans as enslavement. Yeah. For some reason, I ended up Clan Moors. I wasn't pleased.
That's what you get for signing up to a non-Skaven website.
Yeah.
I was infiltrating.
Yeah.
And as you see, it doesn't matter. You'll get roped back in anyhow.
Well, they've got another fluff competition, so.
Yeah. But the Lizardman, so the Lizardman Forum is probably doing really well still.
They're doing pretty well, it seems, yeah.
Because the Under Empire is pretty. It's been kind of dead recently.
Don't say that, it's negative.
The Under Empire is doing great, yes.
People read plenty. They're just very selective about when they decide to post.
Then the Under Empire has just been really selective lately.
That's what happens when you have superior quality of members, you see.
Yeah. It happens. It's our quality. That's the thing. But the Seraphon also, I got a feeling that lots of people have started playing Seraphon in Age of Sigmar. That weren't playing Lizardmen before. Whereas with Skaven, I don't think there's been a lot of new Skaven players that just started looking for Skaven because of Age of Sigmar. I might be getting it wrong. If I'm getting this wrong, just let us know. Post on the forums or send us some emails.
I think the Seraphon theme is quite a big sort of a jump from what it was back in the fantasy days.
Yeah.
I mean, I was saying sort of before you sort of reappeared again, I'm writing my brain sort of memory thing of that the majority of the Seraphon are conjured up as from the memories of the Slaan.
Yeah. I kind of like that dynamic, though. Mm. Also...
Oh, I'm sorry. It's fantastic dynamic, I think. Yeah. It really makes some very nice sort of strong themes from it all. Anyway.
And the book, the Age of Sigmar, the the Legends Festival book. They have they call the Seraphon the Skaven Golems Star Devils.
Star Devils.
And it's a pretty cool bit where the Seraphon first appear and the Vermin Lord, or at least one of the Plague Priests, he gets this like primal fear of the lizard chasing the rats and stuff like that. It was like a thing that went back through the ages, and like he got flashbacks from a time where, like when the horned rat led his children away from the world that was, and there was like this whole bit about, like after the end times. So it was pretty cool, and it really like drove home that this game was like really scared by the fact that they were lizardmen, and then the also like the Vermin Lord, and the I guess the Vermin Lord's a demon, and the thing that the Seraphon and the storm that they were made of, like the essence of the heavens and stuff like that, that was really difficult for him to fight the Seraphon, because they could like because they were made of pure like heaven's energy, they could damage him where otherwise they could not. So that was because the Vermin Lord actually did a lot of fighting, which I didn't expect.
Yeah, that is something. You don't usually see the Vermin Lords actually get their paws dirty.
Yeah, because it started out in the book, because he has this monologue at the beginning of the book where he's like, so he could sense that he was close to finding like this one of the great plagues, and that it surely must be here, and that but he's obviously not gonna go get it himself, and he's glad he's got these two minions running around for him. So and then, but in the end of the book, he gets really tangled up in the combats, and he weakens himself. So, spoiler warning again: Vermin Lord dies. Yeah, everyone's shocked. But
can it truly die?
Well, at least it got sent back to wherever it came from.
Yeah,
it's the Stormcast guys that were in the book were they're featured in the big book. They're one of the chambers that they're the core chambers. They fight. It was mentioned in the fluff of that Stormcast chamber that they fight in the forests of Gur, like a lot of the time, and so they're also in this book because it's on the plane of Gur probably, and the leader of those Stormcast is so he obviously fights the Vermin Lord at the end and he wins although he got some help from the Slann in the end, because the Slann arrives, and the Slann, I don't know if because the Slann is just watching, because he thought the Slann was going to arrive and help him beat the Vermin Lord, and it didn't. It just sat around and watched.
Like they were popcorn.
Yeah, he just grabbed his popcorn, and then he like because it's because the Stormcast, they ally with the Lizardmen, but they like they're constantly reminded how different the Lizardmen are and how different their objective is, because the Slann is really calculating and really like thinking about the whole war on the grand scale of things, and the whole reason that the Lizardmen came down was just to fix this one thing that the Slann wanted to get fixed, but not really to like free the human population that's there and stuff. So the Stormcast are like doing generic hero stuff, and the Lizardmen don't really care, and they push on.
Yeah, like, why don't you help me, prick?
Yeah. but they get some respect for each other because they
this bump
impressed by their fighting abilities. The great thing about it is though that the more wizardy plague priest he ends up getting infected with the plague that they're looking for, and he falls apart in a mass of black like worms, like because they're crawling out of his skin, like they get really messed up, the pestilence guys, but mostly due to their own diseases more than their enemies that they're fighting. And the kind of warrior guy, the more warrior-like plague priest, he survives the novel, and you don't think that he survives because he gets thrown into a pit, into like one of the pits that they dug, into the worm, and then you think it implies that he's dead, and then the story goes on, and the Vermilion gets killed, and the other plague priest gets killed as well, and you're like, wait, I thought this game we're going to win this thing. And then in the end, like it has this tiny epilogue where the guy who fell down the plague priest that fell down the pit, he lands in like this soft tissue and this digestive fluid of the worm. And he suddenly finds like the place where one of the great plagues has been created, and he's like, oh wait, I'm just gonna make my warren here inside the worm, and then we'll just infect it from the inside out.
So Skaven actually wins that one then.
Yeah. The Vermilord obviously doesn't win. He doesn't get what he wants. The Slan wins, and the Stormcast, they win because they keep the realm gate safe and they save some of the population. But since the Plague Priest survives in the end, the worm's probably going to die of infection in the end anyway. So it gives them a window into the future.
Skaven actually won something.
Yeah, it's not
actually win-win though, is it? Because you've just said that one of them gets his ass handed to him and thrown inside the worm, and the other two get killed.
Yeah, so it was a bit of a downer because I kept expecting like one of those guys to actually do something, or at least the guy that gets thrown down, at least he ends up a bit ahead, and he's probably glad the other two got killed. He's a pretty good character though. The plague priest, the warrior plague priest, he's called Kruk. He was really fun to read because he's not that smart. He's like the kind. He's kind of a dumb plague priest, and he gets high like of his own fumes. Because he's more like a sense bearer guy.
He sounded very quick like. I think I'd like that.
He is very quick like. And he's like more cunning in like an orc way instead of like a Skaven way. So he's a bit different. The other guy is much more the other plague priest is much more traditional Skaven, like constantly like hiding behind his minions, which is also fun, but. As to anyone who's still like deciding whether to get it, like if you can afford it, because I can't remember how much I paid for it. What was the? Do you guys know the cost of the books?
I can probably look it up. Which book was it?
The Legends of the Age of Sigmar, Skaven, Pestilence. I forgot how much I paid for it. But so I remember it being a bit more expensive than I thought. But at least for the story, it's quick, it's fun, and it's especially if you're a Skaven player, it's got loads to read about. It's really about Skaven.
I think it's like $10 more than the Grand Alliance books because it's hardback. It's offback.
Yeah, $31.
American dollars.
More. Yeah. Or if I go to the UK.
Also, welcome back, Brian.
Yeah.
Oh. What happened to that?
Didn't like the cell phone connection.
Games Workshop UK is gone.
Oh.
Or have they just got rid of the other domain names? Not in New Zealand. Why do you think I'm in New Zealand? What the fuck's going on here?
I could look. I'm afraid of typing on my keyboard.
Well, in case the elephants come back. Okay, I've got back to the UK site. Surely it's under new releases somewhere.
£15.
Poons?
15 English poons.
Poons?
Yes.
So it's double that in dollars, blimey.
It's 20 euros.
Yeah, what are those?
20
things?
Euros. In hindsight, I think 20 euros is a bit much. It's a good read, but 20 euros. I can remember there was a time that you paid like 10 euros for half that, or like a Horus Heresy book or something.
I remember.
So, or at least like for the paperback stuff, it is hardcover though, and it looks nice. It's a really nice book, but it's short for the length of the book. I don't know if you're not a fan already, then 20 euros is much for a book like this.
Yeah, maybe wait until it perhaps gets softback or.
Yeah, if it ever gets softback.
Isn't that how much the that can. Conspiracy theory of Skaven book was back in the time the
Loathsome Ratman.
Yeah,
that one was I think 30 euros or something like that.
That was quite a tome at the time.
Yeah, it was about as much as an army book.
I mean, it had tons of fluff and none of the army rules. I think releases like that is where their money is, not in trying to sell us rules.
I think the
Pestilence book specifically could have been a lot better if they didn't have the, because it's like there's a few paragraphs that felt copy and pasted.
Battle Zone.
So I mean, there's one specific instance where they're talking about the Skaven makeup, and below them is like a. Fight between Skaven and the Stormcast. So you're expecting like the fluff to be like some really cool battle that they had where they just tossed vermin after vermin after vermin at them and.
I hear voices.
So do I.
Which one are you talking about? In the battle tome?
What, voices from the book?
Yeah. The Skaven like page 17 or so.
Okay.
The beginning.
I thought you were talking about one of the battles in the end. At the back of the book. But the problem I had with the battle tome is that it's nice and everything, but Clan Pestilence by itself is not a very large faction.
I don't know. They're supposed to be pretty powerful. on their own. I don't know if that's transferred over into the Age of Sigmar at all, but...
It's just, it seemed to me like, especially with when they started like displaying the units and stuff and showing the pictures of the heavy metal stuff, it's like there's only maybe like five different things in they have for pestilence. So they keep seeing the same five different things, just in different shots. Yeah, it's okay still, and everything looks like amazing and really nice. But you have plague monks, you have sensor bearers, there's the plague priests and the plague wind throwers and the what's it called, the big you got the vermin lord and the plague furnace. Those are like six things maybe, and you see the same ones over and over again. And I don't even think the plague monks looks as nice anymore as the newer stuff.
They changed the plague monks?
No, they didn't change the plague monks. That's the thing.
That was from the time of the Luster expansion. They brought in the plague monks, I think.
Yeah. The plague monks were one of the first digitally designed models.
Yeah.
It kind of shows.
Yeah, I think they're pretty revolutionary from the time, considering what the rest of the Skaven models did look like then.
Yeah.
The whole monkey rats.
I'm not disputing that, because especially like I got rid of my old clan rats, all my 6th edition clan rats.
Even so, yeah, I see what you mean. They haven't really stood the test of time as well.
Well, they're painting up really nice, and with the paint job they do, it kind of masks the fact that they're older models. But they're the mainstay of this army, and they're everywhere in the book. And to me, it looks like, oh, actually, they just released a new. The only thing they had to do is release like a new Plague Monk box. And if they did that, then the whole thing would just look way nicer.
Yeah, they could have re-released Plague Monks with the option to give them flails and build a hero out of a box and everything, couldn't they? And just use that as an excuse to double the price of their box, and there you go.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't even mind like paying a bit of extra money for Plague Monks if they just updated the models. But right now, I feel like I can buy them, but I'd just be... Especially with the getting started thing.
I think they have some use, especially since you get one pestilence or plague sensor flail per sprue. So if you collect enough plague monks, you can actually have plastic sensor bearers.
Well, but they wouldn't look as nice though.
Oh, it depends on how well you were with Green Sculpt, because they had to be doing something else with their other hand.
They're not really that posable. Holding daggers
doesn't really work. I think the clan that really needs updating is Clan Eshin.
Yeah, very.
Aren't they just fucked now?
Amen.
Clan Scry is also another one that's some plastic weapon teams would be nice. Especially since they hate they hate metal, and they always want them in rosin. So you either have to go on eBay to get the metal ones, or you have to buy the fine cast.
Everything's going to be huge. There are no more small models. This is Games Workshop. It's size matters. Overcompensate.
Oh, you're telling me the Doom Sphere looking orb blade ball of death isn't massive? I mean, you can always make
really
it bigger.
It's not really that massive, but...
No, they actually made, when they did the Doom Wheel, they actually shrunk it down a little.
That's because they had the guy riding on top, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's not really gone down in size, any. I've got the old and the new model. It is about... Actually, I'd say it's slightly bigger. The wheels are bigger than the old wheels. So technically, it has gone over.
So it's mostly the guy on top?
Yeah, it's mostly they made the center big enough for the guy on top to go inside it. But in doing that, they've made the wheels much bigger.
Actually, isn't he technically on the back?
No.
Or is that a different model?
There's a guy inside, and there's a guy on back that does, like, steering. The guy inside is in charge of speed. The guy on back steers.
And I think he also does pump the bellows as well a bit.
And you've got the flag on top, which also compensates a bit for the height.
Nah, I didn't put
until
flag
you try
on
and
mine.
Transport that.
Exactly.
I'm Clan Mulder fan. I think if I do my Storm Fiends, I'm going to do them all custom-made. Because otherwise, getting a one with a tunnel team and, like, four or five Rattling Guns would just be too expensive. You get, like, one Rattling Gun per box.
Oh, no, he's onto us.
What is a good way? I was wondering, though, because do you guys have any tips? Because I'm probably going to start, because I got one box of Storm Fiends. And I'm going to put them together soon, I think, probably.
I'm actually experimenting with using ogres, putting plasticard plating, and then just doing a head swap.
Why can't you just use the rat ogres and swap them out? Because the new rat ogres are plastic anyway, so...
They're in different poses. And so if you get too many of the same type.
Obviously.
I want them to look different than my rat ogres. So that's why I'm using two different bases. Plus, it's actually cheaper to get a thing of bowls and just having a whole bunch of extra heads from... Because you get spare heads in the clan on a few of them. And even then, it's not that hard to fake one in green stuff. Especially if you don't care about recasting.
Yeah,
I'm probably just going to use my storms as they are.
Yeah.
But I don't know which weapons, because are there weapons which are definitely better than the others?
I think anytime you... Power armor one is that kind of cool. Or the warp stone lace power shield thing.
I think
it's the closest I've ever gotten to a 4+ in any of the units we have.
I think the weapons teams are better now than the fiends. So it's one of them things. They brought the fiends out and went, hey, buy the new thing. Buy the shiny. And then they brought the Age of Sigmar Rosa out and went, right, we've sold all the fiends. Guess what? Weapons teams are back in.
We're still selling the fiends.
Yeah. But the weapon teams really suck here, the comps, though, because you can't take more than three of the same type.
Well, how many do you actually need? Three of one type is pretty powerful. Have you seen the new rules
for
the
Rattling Gun? I actually think running a one unit of five would be kind of cool. But see, unless you're taking that one battalion that lets them hide in the clan rats or near the clan rats of Storm Vermin, where if you shoot them, kind of like the old days, nearby rule.
Brought that back.
They don't get that by default. You have to take battalions, which kind of makes it interesting because it makes it almost a default option for people to shoot at. Whereas if you have them unattached, you allocate 20, hits to that one unit because you want to destroy it. If you easily do it, those wounds would carry over to the clan rats. And so that's actually kind of a disadvantage in Age of Sigmar now. So that's why they don't get it by default, I think.
Oh, I think it would be interesting if you could take a team of them rather than being limited to just one world scroll, you know, three world scrolls if you're doing comp. I mean, if you're not doing comp, I mean, then again, the Grand Alliance Chaos book, I think you can take them with engineers and get more than three because you're using a formation. But even then, you're forced to take Storm Fiends in order to use the Clan Scry lists.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because you said that if they're unsettling the Storm Fiends and they wrote the Clan Scry Battalion to sell them again, because for every thing you want to field in the Clan Scry Battalion, you need a unit of Storm Fiends, at least, to back it up. For example, because they in the battalion they separated the different types of Clan Scry machines. So if you want to take like spinning machines, like the Doomflayers and the Doom Wheel, then you can. But if you also want to take like Jezails, then you have to have like two units of Storm Fiends. Because you've got the one type of machine, so you can get an engine coven of the Doom, because of the spinning things, and then you get and you have to get another engine coven if you for the Jezail things, for the things with bullets. Am I making any sense?
Yeah. I just don't really care about anything, man.
That's actually a part of the issue is a lot of this, with the way the I always bring the reference up of Wizards when they went changed AD&D to 2.0 to 3.0, they went from THACO to D20. People still play Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, so there are probably still going to be people like long live 8th edition.
No, dude, so. Because every time round, people say they're going to play the old edition, and it never fucking happens. They go and die in a cave somewhere, rolling a dice against a wall, going, I want to play 6 again.
And it's a bit different with D&D, because with D&D you only need, like, the books.
Yeah, you could do it over Skype or anything, couldn't you?
But with Warhammer, you're forced to if you want to find an opponent, you have to have like the same type of army. You have to have your armies have to match up for using the rules and everything. So you kind of have to agree on a version of the game. It's much more difficult to get in a game of Warhammer than to get in a game of Dungeons and Dragons. At least it's what I've found. It's also much easier to recruit people. Even if there are people that don't know Dungeons and Dragons, you can just tell them like, "Oh, it's a fun game." And you can explain them, and they can start just playing right away. Even if you can't find anyone who's want to play an old edition with you, you just recruit new people. But with Warhammer, it's like. Yeah, they have to have an army first. You have to be really invested in the game before you can start playing it.
Unless it's a club that has enough of each army. There's actually some clubs that have that. I mean, as much as they collect terrain, they also collect models.
Yeah, well, we used to proxy on paper, you know. We're like, draw the size of your unit. When we started, you know, back in old days.
It's like, back in the old days, they had cardboard cutouts as well.
Yeah, they did, actually.
Oh, those cutout cardboard cutout sort of scenery. Oh.
So that was actually encouraged by the company itself.
Yeah.
Speaking of back in the old days, I actually have an old copy of Battle Masters.
Don't know what that is.
It's Games Workshop's like almost first game, because it's produced under Milton Bradley.
Okay.
And so it has a lot of the Warhammer setting before it was actually known as Warhammer. It's got like elf with bows and a chaos troll and knights and orcs, and it's like pre-Warhammer.
Lord of the Rings then, yeah?
No, actually, they didn't really have any elf-like units. They didn't even have any dwarves. Bows. It was chaos elves. It was more draconian. Like drow or such.
Oh, Dark Elf Joy.
Was it that? Because I've read somewhere that that's the way like Worms started out, because they get the guys from who started Games Workshop, they were just like reselling Dungeons and Dragons, they like importing Dungeons and Dragons from America and selling it in the UK.
Yeah, well, I can't kind of. So much of that, but because the entire thing was like a huge box, and like it was more Warhammer to me, because you put all the little models on little blocks, and they had each block had their unit characteristics, and you used dice, and you had little yellow wound tokens that you added on to the unit before they died. And they had flags, and you took their flag, and
okay,
they even had specialty dice with like shields and swords on it.
It's before my time.
Yeah, that's like Warhammer 0.5. It's proper in there.
I was born.
I'm not quite sure where it fits in the timeline, because they might have also been doing their more AD&D stuff, like the first and second edition of Warhammer Fantasy. And this could have been like maybe around third edition. I'm not quite sure. I don't have it in front of me to look at the copyrights, but
I don't think it was that far on. I think it was earlier than that, dude.
Space Marines.
Oh, I know. Something when I was in my youth. So I mean, it's like I'm 35 now. So it's like when I was 6 or 7.
Well, so when I was about 16, we were on 4th edition. So you're going back 10 years before that. So yeah.
Oh, I definitely earned my Lord of Decay tag.
Yep.
Anyone else like played any games? Dan, did you play anything?
I've played some Kings of War. Yeah, I've been bitching about it really, because it's all right to lose to start with and have a laugh, but I want to actually get into it properly now, and none of this pissing around with stuff, because I actually fucked myself on the last game, basically. I didn't realize that when units charged, they had to align center to center, and I basically charged the demon prince dragon thing, whatever it's called now, that has wings, into a unit, and in doing so, because of the height rules, because he's taller than everyone else, I basically blocked everyone who could shoot from firing. So for an entire turn, by charging a unit, I took out, I don't know, about a fourth of my army from being able to shoot. And I pretty much said that, I was like, well, that's it, I fucking lost the game. And that was turn two. And I managed to draw it out to turn six, but I still lost everything on turn six. So I was like, yeah, it changed nothing, dude. I said he was fucking dead. I said it was over. And it was just like, ooh, it's not that bad. I was like, no, dude, you fucking killed me. And it was all about the objectives, because it was one of those ones where you got to get someone into the other deployment zone. And I was just like, no, you've got better shooting than me. And I fucked up a round of shooting completely, so I lose by default. There you go. It's alright. It's very much movement. If you fuck movement, that's it. That's your key thing with Kings of War. If you fail on your movement, you fail on everything.
That hasn't that like always been the case?
No, because with Warhammer, you flee and rally and stuff like that, and you can buff and stuff like that. You don't get to attack back in Kings of War.
Oh.
If it's the opponent's turn, it's just them attacking, not you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's... I didn't realize.
you can charge your shit slaves that are a blocker into something, because they're not going to get hacked to death in response. So you're going to get some free hacks in.
I actually don't like that, because it reminds me too much of War Machine.
I've never played that.
No one played War Machine? In War Machine Hordes, it's like also like when you activate something, and when it's your turn, you're basically the only guy throwing dice, unless you have like abilities that interrupt things. But and you can like get these combos off that just annihilate like whole parts of someone's army without them ever having to do something back. So if Kings of War is like that as well.
Yeah, Kings of War is kind of like that, but it's very movement heavy. Your movement is everything. Nothing else really matters as much as movement. If you cannot see what you need to see and charge what you need to charge or get out of the way with what you need to get out of the way with, then you've lost. That's Kings of War in a nutshell for you.
So is there no game that you really want to play, Dan?
I'm still playing Kings of War.
Yeah.
I was just really pissed off.
Oh, at that one game.
Because it's like, well, he's starting to take it seriously now, so he's wanting to take tournament army. So he's not going to turn his list down, and I don't want him to turn his list down. He shouldn't have to. But at the same time, I didn't have the rule book, so it's a bit like, nah, this is getting a bit annoying now. Because I don't want to lose a game based on I didn't know that. Because, obviously, if I had known that one thing, I wouldn't have charged him in. Because although my demon, prince, flying, vermin lord, whatever you want to call him, does a lot of damage, 13 attacks, and if it's in a flank or a leer, it's double or triple. But when you're talking about Skaven firepower, you're talking like 10 attacks from each fire unit. And I'd basically got two weapons teams, a bit of artillery, and two wizards. And with this one model, I'd block them all from firing. That's how bad it was. So I basically nullified like 45 to 50 shots. Which I could have probably done as much, if not more, damage with than charging. If you get where I'm coming from. So... It is very movement based. It has nice mechanics to it. There's some potential there. Oh, there's potential to rip stuff off.
Do you think it's better so far than Age of Sigmar or Ninth Age?
I'd say Ninth Age, I think, needs to settle and stabilize because they're still in this stupid fucking 0. Whatever. They've not actually released 1.0.
Yeah.
You know, that's their excuse for everything being totally fucking batshit crazy. let's let them get to 1.0 before we actually pass judgment properly on them. But just saying, they don't like Skaven, and I'm not going to be surprised. So, you know.
Okay.
Whatever in that regard. Age of Sigmar, I don't know what's happening with Age of Sigmar. They just want to release bigger and bigger models, don't they? So it's like, what's next? It's not really going to be Skaven as Skaven were, is it? Because there's going to be none of this Horde stuff. The models are just going to get bigger and bigger. It's escalation.
And that was one of the questions asked by on the forums as well, though.
It was Trask saying, yeah. Do we think Skaven is still Skaven? I'm not sure any Skaven is still Skaven because you don't even like fire into combat. You don't fire into combat in Age of Sigmar because it's different. It's different phase, isn't it? Everyone could still shoot if they want to shoot. You don't fire into combat in Kings of War. It's a different phase. Ninth Age, you can't fire into combat because, well, slaves are super shit now. And Ninth Age, it's Skaven. So there you go. So as a game mechanic, the thing that makes him unique is gone, because everyone can just charge, fire, whatever. There's no more, well, do I charge in? Or I'll charge these in because I can still fire. That doesn't exist anymore. It's not a thing.
Well, then, because for me, like, I don't really, because I'm not really much of a mechanics guy, and I'm not really into the, like, I don't really care what the rules are. If I can imagine myself, if I can imagine a battle, then I'll play any game as long as it looks cool in my head.
Can you imagine yourself as a big furry rat?
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Boring your way into a giant worm. Good, Sigmarine flesh.
Well, that's kind of what I was trying to. I'm kind of gravitating towards Age of Sigmar, not really because I like the rules or because I think that, but because it's simply the only thing that. Because if that's the question, like, are Skaven really Skaven? Well, and yes, in Age of Sigmar, they are still the same Skaven. They're only like a couple of like ages ahead of in the old setting, but they're still the same Skaven. If you read the books and if you read the stories, they're still every bit as like devious and weird and jittery, and they have the same Skaven speech. They still even have Skaven Blight as a city. It's just in the warp now, or in the space between realms. So even that still exists. You have the same clans, and that's the thing that's keeping me from Ninth Age, things like Ninth Age and Kings of War, because if I'd have to get into those systems, I have to start reading different stories. And
would you say that the leadership's returned? You know, like we had the Council of 13 before, that's all kind of... In the end times, they were all turned into super vermin lords. Do you think we've gone back to a council system?
Well, there hasn't been enough to really talk in depth about it. And still, even then, with Warhammer Fantasy, it still was kept pretty vague. Like, there were several publications in which they did say something about the Council of 13, but it was all very here and there. Well, now the only time I've seen it mentioned is in the Grand Alliance Chaos book, where they actually say, like, in the Master Clan section, that there's a Council of 13 again, and where they didn't say it before, but they just mentioned that it's there. They don't really talk about how it functions, right? So until we maybe get a battle tome for Master Clan, then I don't know if we'll ever get to read about the council until that happens.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen until they've done new Skaven models, is it? That's the thing.
Yeah. Well, they have to release something new, probably. Although they didn't for Pestilence, and they still made a battle tome for them.
Yeah. Testing the waters. Can we get away without releasing new models?
Well, and with this Age of Sigmar, you still have to wait and see where the story is going. But if you want to write about Skaven, if you want to imagine your army being a Skaven army, then I'd much rather play Age of Sigmar to be them, because then they're probably going to be the most Skaven as they can be. But in Ninth Age or Kings of War, if you want to imagine yourself or imagine your army being in that universe, then there's no way around it. You're gonna have to read a different story, and they're not going to be Skaven anymore. They're going to be the Verminous Swarm or the Vermin or whatever they're called.
Yeah, they're not going to do any fluff for them in the other things. I can't. If you change the fluff, they're not Skaven. As soon as you start doing things like that, you start to lose their appeal.
And that's what I mean. Like, but Rules-wise, I don't know. I don't know if Age of Sigmar is better than the other games or the other games are better. But for people who are still wanting to play Skaven, I'm afraid you're going to have to start reading at least some of the Age of Sigmar stuff. Because the 8th edition, they're not going to release anything for it. Maybe the Total War stuff.
Well, we can get onto that if you want to get onto that topic.
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, in God Beasts, they actually have the Mr. End Times is no longer anti-vermin and is actually working with a warlock engineer, getting him to do, he's trying to poison the gateways.
Why would he be anti-vermin?
I don't know if that's because of how much they've been working with Nurgle or that it's not so much anti-Skaven. So you might even see a battalion that features Chaos and humans. They even talked about that a little bit in War Beasts. There was a almost in the first couple pages, there's a human tribe that worships a fifth Chaos god, and they're trying to figure it out. And they eventually find out that it's the Horned Rat.
Oh, really? Is that
so? The humans have an effigy towards the Horned Rat hanging up next to the other four.
That's really
I don't know
cool.
If that's just Gabe doing his thing, or...
What book's that in? You'll have to...
War Beasts, the latest in the series of the Realm Gate Wars.
I might get War Beasts and start from there. I'm going away next week anyway.
That's where I started. I've read some of the previews of the other ones. I might get the Queen of the Ever, the previous one, the fifth book, because it talks about the Nurgle rats and how they stole an urn and are using it to fund their nefarious purposes.
I might have mentioned this before, but Borders of the Evergreens, written by C.L. Werner, right? And he wrote all the Thangwill books.
I think he was actually one of the Games Workshop employees that we had frequently visit the Under Empire.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Was
Shun.
He like an unofficial Q&A of his book or something. I'm trying to remember how that came about. Like we were talking about his book and he came in and said hi. I'm trying to remember that.
Yeah, I think he also talked a little bit on how the council sort of chambers all sort of sorted seat wise. I think his idea was it was more like a musical chairs sort of thing. Yeah, that would be fun to do.
Well, Age kind of changed that into more of a cabal of vermin lords from a lot of the fluff. So it's them conspiring and not really telling their minions what they're doing. As you kind of see in the legends of plague rats, how vermin lords getting two plague priests to fight amongst themselves.
Yeah. It's Warners of the Evergreen sounds good, but it's War Beast. Is it really Skaven centric? Because have you read it all of it yet, or just started on it?
I got about halfway through it, even though I got it the day of that it came out. It's a pretty good book. It's more combat oriented, which I think is interesting. More so than other books. And I think that might be because Gabe comes from Warhammer. And so it's a lot of details and things that most people glaze over. Like the battles that do take place so far. Rats are kind of mentioned briefly, but they have like epic death scenes described. Which to me as a Skaven player is like pretty hilarious. Like they first are mentioned as dying. But I'm sure it kind of builds up from there, kind of almost like a avalanche.
Cool. So does anyone else have any specific topics they want to mention?
Dice orders, I believe, are coming as soon as I make the order form that I've been working in is a friendly PDF. And there'll be two different hubs from America doing Chessec custom set and Europe doing a custom D12 set, which is going to be a double D6. As well as if we get enough demand, we might get some of those glow-in-the-dark D6s. Cool. So that'll be fun to do for the anniversary.
Anniversary. So this was the anniversary episode.
Apparently, unofficially. Ish.
Happy birthday, Yui.
Yeah, happy birthday, Dan.
I somehow expect Deathmaster Mink to like appear somewhere suddenly.
Check the top drawers.
It's actually kind of interesting. Me and him share the same birthday.
Grand I'm now very suspicious. Old.
Very suspicious. Someone faking documents again, Chris.
Unless you think I can have an IP address in both America and Europe, I think you're...
Yes, it's called IP spoofing.
We're never seen at the same time.
That was going to be my topic of the week as well.
He actually added me to the council without a popular vote, unlike normal council rats. So you might be onto something. Maybe there's a conspiracy.
There's always a
conspiracy. But I added my sock account to the council.
It's still funny just the reaction of some of the ex-councillors whenever you sort of just mention Mick at all. Mort Skitter, for example, likes to sort of, every time that comes up. I think he's actually got a fear of socks.
That was the thing, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, there's never really, surprisingly, there's never, even all the form games that we have had, we've never really had an issue with it. I don't know if people were just extra good or... We're just too lazy to check. I've never had an issue, and Scums and Villainy is one of my favorite form games.
With a name like that, what could go wrong?
Lots of things, as it turns out. Mostly to the players.
It's the typical, you know, who's the hunter, who's the murderer.
Now it kind of just sounds like a Star Wars game, though. A little bit.
It's more of a geek's version of the old Heads Up 7-Up game, you know?
A lot more complicated. Scum and Villainy, Silas killed me before the game had actually begun. Yeah.
Sounds like a difficult game.
So, any other things to discuss?
I've got nothing.
I suppose might as well shout out that the Molder Pit Fighters are having their fourth season campaign.
And what was that entail?
Warhammer Chronicles released the rules for the updated rat units for Warhammer Quest, which is what rumored the new box set in July, which is the last date that Games Workshop told their employees they have to be there at work at this day. So Age of Sigmar box set that's kind of more of a Warhammer Quest with Tezneach demons. Remember the old pink and blue?
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to have a Warhammer fantasy-ish version of the Gene Stealer game.
Cool.
It's the rumors. I'm ready to turn in, though.
I think it'd be kind of cool. I mean, their focus really should be on board games, because that's where you can get more shelf space other than just your stores. Especially that a lot around here, most like Cafe Mox and more doesn't carry Warhammer Fantasy anymore.
Yeah.
It's not high profit, though, is it? But anyway, that's topic for another
day. You have a crap load of Warhammer 40K, but, like, their fantasy line is War Machines and the new game that I, like, started getting into, Malphux, which kind of reminds me of Mordheim. And we actually have rats in there. There's Brotherhood of the Rats and this other set that includes a little sprue of rats. And even a rat king, so like a little rat demon.
Cool.
So we're part of another game. Squeak, squeak, squeak.
Yeah, we'll have to dig all that out for next time. I think people are wanting to get off, so we'll probably leave it at that and wrap up.
It's
good night.
A bit late over here in the Netherlands.
Yeah. Oh, it's only 5 o'clock here.
Yeah, I swear you are. What time are you on, Chris?
Probably same as you.
Oh, fucking hell, I just did it, didn't I? I've tried all day not to do it, I just did it at the end.
There we go.
What time are you on, Dan? You're not the same as us, aren't you?
Or are you I'm 1 hour ahead of you guys. So, or at least when I'm at, it's 2 o'clock at night.
Yeah, right. All right, guys. If you're still listening, thank you for staying through the rambling. And I think we're all just going to side off now because yeah, it's getting pretty late.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys. All right. See you.
See you.